Let's go now to John, who's listening in Minneapolis. Hi, John.
Hi, Mr. Madrid. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I have probably a very easy question for you to answer, but I'm a lifelong Catholic, so all my life, my mother, you know, every time something happens, troubles come up, you know, it's offer it up. And I understand a beautiful aspect of human suffering is that we can unite our sufferings to Christ. And I've prayed and meditated a lot about what that exactly means. And there's kind of a theological side of that, but from a practical side, you know, I'm suffering. What do I do when I unite my sufferings to Christ? What do I go through, like, mentally and physically and spiritually? So, you know, it's not just I can say it and it happens. I really need to be changing the way I'm looking at suffering somehow. And I guess I'd love to hear your thoughts about what that means.
Okay, sure. Well, you know what it's like to fast, right? You know the feeling of hunger, and you suffer a bit because when you're fasting from food, your body is rebelling and saying, wait a minute, I want some food. And you're saying, no, you don't get any food right now. That's a form of suffering, right? You've experienced that, haven't you?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Now, you notice, even just from a physiological standpoint, that you benefit by fasting. Your metabolism is strengthened. Maybe you lose some unsightly pounds. Excuse me. Maybe you you lower your cholesterol. There are different advantages that can come from fasting. So even just at a physical level, we know that there is benefit, purification, strengthening of the body through fasting. Well, in a spiritual kind of way, that suffering, and I'm not talking just about fasting, but just in general, when we offer up our sufferings to the Lord, we actually experience something similar in our souls, a purification, a greater control over our irascible or our unruly passions. We become more conformed to Jesus, who himself was no stranger to suffering. And let me just quote you a passage here from Colossians chapter 1, where St. Paul talks about this very issue. He says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church." Now, it may seem strange that Jesus or that St. Paul would talk about how he's filling up what is lacking. He doesn't mean that Jesus didn't suffer enough. What he means is that by suffering and rejoicing in his suffering and offering his sufferings to the Lord, he's actually participating in the sufferings of Jesus, and he's becoming more and more deeply conformed into Jesus himself. So in the same way, when we offer up our sufferings to the Lord, it's not like we're doing something that Jesus couldn't do or didn't do, but rather we're participating with him in that regard. Does that point seem pretty clear? Is that helpful to you in this issue?
It is, you know, and I think that kind of answers, you know, part of why kind of creating the, you know, showing that suffering can have grace and rather than despair, which I think is fantastic.
That's right. It's meritorious. I've got to run, though. It's meritorious in God's eyes when we take our suffering and offer it to him, not only for our own perfection, but also as a sacrifice for other people. It's a very good and meritorious thing to do. So thanks for raising that issue, John. Hang in there, man. I'll be right back right after this. Hour 2 starts in about 2 minutes, so please don't go away.